Shall we all come together in prayer? Yes. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and freedom to enter into this place and to join in friendship and fellowship around your word. We thank you, Lord, for the open book, and that we can still have it open. We have no restrictions, and we thank you for this. We pray, O God, for your presence with us this evening. Lord, we pray that you will be working amongst us, helping us and teaching us from the scriptures. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glorious sake. Amen. If you remember, the battle with Absalom is over. The battle's finished. Joab has made short work of Absalom. Absalom's buried in a pit, covered with stones, and the trumpet's been blown, and the troops are reassembling. And that's what's just happened. Now we come to this passage. How are we going to tell David? Now we look at verse 19. Then Ahimaazar, the son of Zadok, said, "Let me run now and take the news to the king. Now how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." Now this young man was the man that was the spy runner for his father and David. Zadok would get information, give it to his son, and his son would run or take the message to King David. So he's had a rapport with David. He's a friend in many ways to David. He's got the ear of the king, and he wants to now take the good news that the Lord has been on their side and that they have won the victory. "Let me run now and take the news to the king, how the Lord has avenged him of his enemies." Avenged him of his enemies. They're all destroyed. They're dispersed. They've gone back. Now he's talking to Joab. And Joab said to him, "You shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead." We know how David treated the last person that brought him news that the king had died, that Saul was put to death, and how the man that told him lost his life. So Joab is saying to this young priest, "You can't take this bad news to the king. You've had a great victory, but his son is dead. So you know the king, you can't take him." Joab said to him, "You shall not take the news this day, for you shall take the news another day. But today you shall take no news, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." Now the Cushite came from Cush, and Cush was a country south of Egypt, near enough Ethiopia. So this man is a foreigner, yet he's coming and he's working and he's being a runner for Joab. So Joab says to the Cushite, "Go tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab and ran. There's a sense of loyalty there. There's a sense of obedience. There's a sense of knowing what's going to happen. And he's ran off. Now, verse 22. Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said again to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run." Again, you've got that feeling that they know something awful might happen, because he said, just said, "Whatever happens, I want to take the news to David. He has this relationship with the king, and he's the king's runner, and he wants to take the news to David. Whatever happens, I want to go. But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite. And Joab said, "Why do you run, my son, since you have no news ready?" Not having anything prepared to tell David, because the news, in theory, has already gone off. The runners set off. "But whatever happens," he said, "let me run. I'm prepared to take any consequence. I must run to the king." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Now David, we end there, they're running. We've got that in our minds, they're running. Now David may have heard the trumpet, may have heard the cessation of the battle, may have heard the silence, because he's not that far away. But David is now sitting between the two gates. He's sitting between the two gates in the middle. "And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate to the wall, lifted his eyes and looked, and there was a man running along," alone. "Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, 'If he is alone, there is news in his mouth.' And he came rapidly and drew near." Verse 23 tells us that he outran. Ahimaaz has outran the Cushite. So he's now in front. He's the one that's got the first news. David is sitting waiting in anticipation for the news. The watchman's gone up to the roof and standing there looking over the gate. And he looks and he sees there's a man running alone. "Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, 'If he is alone, there is news in his mouth.' And he came rapidly and drew near. Then the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, 'There is another man running alone.' And the king said, 'He also brings news.' So the watchman said, 'I think the running of the first man is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok.' And the king said, 'He is a good man and comes with good news.'" He's that been outrun. The Cushite's been outrun. The young priest is in front. He's coming to the king, and he's gaining speed. He has a distinctive way of running. Many of us have a distinctive way of running. Mine is very slow. But by looking at the way he was running, he could see who it was, and he had it given to him. So the king now knows who's coming. We know who's coming. The king said, "He is a good man and comes with good news." Now, and, verse 28, Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord, your God, who has delivered up the men who raised their hand against my lord the king." He's got there, he's spilled out what he's come to say. The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was about. Now, he already knows that Absalom's dead. He's been told by Joab that he's not going to give that news to the king. He's told the king that they've had a great victory, that God has won the day, and that the whole thing, all the men that turned against him have been either put to death or died in the slaughter. We heard it last week about the forest. It took lots of people because it was a very dense forest. Absalom himself was caught swinging in the trees by his glorious hair. So he's told the news. The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant." So when he sent the servant, the Cushite, the first runner, and me, there was a tumult. But I did not know what it was all about. And the king said, "Turn aside. Come, stand by me. Turn aside. Wait." So he turned aside and stood still. Just then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." Again, there's an implication there that everybody that rose up against you has been dealt with. The Lord this day has dealt with all those. And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" David's got one thing on his mind, his son, the rebel, the one that caused the trouble and the war. It was fitting that they buried him in a pit, and it was fitting that they covered him with stones, because in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 20 is the punishment for wayward children, for rebellious sons. They're taken out of the city and the village and stoned, laid in a pit and with stones piled on them. And that's a picture we have of Absalom. The rebellious son has been dealt with. The king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do you harm be as that young man is." Very, very peaceful, isn't it? Very, very polite way of putting things. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. Cushite has come, but he's done it diplomatically. He's not just turned around and said, "Yeah, he died and he got murdered." No, he's come and he said, "The Lord has done the victory. The Lord has given you the victory. And may everybody be as that young man, that rebel, be like him." And David, as the pennies drop, David has fallen apart. He's gone upstairs to weep. And he said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Sorrow in his heart for Absalom, the rebellious son. David has said that he's willing to lay down his life if Absalom would have been saved. David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life that all of us who have faith in him may be saved. And in a sense, that's a little picture of what happened. Jesus came to save the rebels. Jesus came to save you and I, the rebels against God. And it must have been, in a sense, in the heart of God, that same feeling that David had, how he longed for his son to have repented and come back to him. But he didn't. He didn't. "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom." And Joab was told. Again, the army has finished battle. They've assembled or reassembled, and they're now marching back to the town, back to the city. And they're all marching back. So they're not that far behind the runners, in a sense. And now, Joab was told, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom." So the victory that day, was turned into mourning. We're normally greeted by the king when we've done something great. We've fought for him all day long, and we've won the battle through the power of God in us. And David should be sitting in the gate waiting to welcome us back, to give us, as it were, a slap on the back, a congratulations. But he's not. He's gone and hidden himself. He's gone and cried. So the victory that day was turned into a mourning for all the people. For the people heard it, said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." And the people stole back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. So the whole thing has been reversed. Instead of it being a joyful return, triumphant, praising God for the victory that he's given them, the king is in mourning for his son. The king has turned the attitude. So all the victorious soldiers are coming back, and they're coming back with their tail between their legs. There's no happy rejoicing. There's no great songs of victory. There's nothing. They're all coming back as if they've run away from the battle. They're all coming back. Quiet. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O my son, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have disgraced all your servants who today have saved your life and the lives of your sons and the daughters, and the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines." Joab wasn't the person to mix his words, wasn't the person to get on the wrong side of. He showed compassion to the young priest, that he didn't want him to take the bad news. And now he's confronting the king who he served. And Joab's the general of the whole army. Although he did take only a third with him this time, and it was split into two thirds. But he's no man to quibble with, and he's got the nerve and the strength of character to go and speak straight words to the king. "You and your sons, your daughters, the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends, for you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants. For today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you and pleased you well." He'd been told straight. "There's this great battle has been won on your behalf by the Lord, who's given us the strength and the ability to do it. And all you're worrying about is a rebellious son who's died in the battle." Now, Absalom had died and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. "Now, therefore, arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night." That's a big statement. Not one soldier, and he's referring to himself as well, "not one soldier will stand by you tonight. You will be deserted. Arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night. And that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. And we know David's life as we've been going through it. He's had some problems. He's had some tight corners. And Joab is saying that because of what you've done, you've turned the victory into a sadness. Tonight, if you don't go and cheer and congratulate your troops on their victory for you on your behalf, then not one of them will remain loyal to you. And the worst thing will happen, and there'll be no one there by your side to help you. Then the king arose, sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, "There is the king sitting in the gate." So all the people came before the king, for everyone of Israel had fled to his tent. All gone home. All ended. We come to the end of our passage tonight. It's a lesson for me. When I read this, it gave me the thing that David had received a victory. And each of us who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ have received the victory. And yet he was anchoring for what he didn't have. His son. He was brooding on the sin or the sinner and not giving God the thanks and praise. And how often do we do that? We know that we're saved. We've had a glorious victory. And yet, things in the past anchor us down, keep us quiet, keep us aside. Joab, a big man. David, a triumphant king. And glorious.